Tower Records presents...
Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Power Records Podcast, the show where the action comes alive. I am one of your hosts, Rob Kelly from AquamanTron.net, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Earth2Chris, a.k.a. Chris Franklin. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm good, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing well, and we are here on this sort of special bonus episode of the show. We're dropping it in the middle of the week, even though we're posting a regular Fire and Water, because we want to tie it into, of course, the new Captain America film that is coming out on Friday, April 4th, Captain America, the Winter Soldier. Yay! So we thought, you know, why not talk about the one and only Captain America Power Record adventure that is out there. The title of it is And a Phoenix Shall Arise. It is from Captain America. It's an adaptation of Captain America number one, volume one, number 168, cover dated December 1973. Writers Roy Thomas and Tony Isabella. Pencilers Sal Buscema, John Tartag, and George Roussos. So we're going to sit back, have a lot of fun with this. It's a really cool little adventure, a little downbeat. But we'll talk about that when we go on the other side. So for now, enjoy, and a phoenix shall arise.
Power Records presents Captain America and the Falcon in And a Phoenix Shall Arise. Captain America and the Falcon on night patrol.
Hey, Cap, what's with you, bud? You're moping around like you just lost your last friend. But you definitely ain't. Not while I'm around.
What? You'll have to run that by again, Sam. I'm a bit slow on the uptake this evening. Some nights it just gets worse than others, that's all. Some nights it just gets worse.
Worse? What gets worse, Cap? Now I'm the one who doesn't follow.
I can't shake it tonight. The feeling that I'm a walking anachronism. A guy who looks like he's 20. Even though he was fighting Hitler's horde some 30 years ago.
Huh? Now, what made that old bugaboo creep up on you all over again?
A lot of things, maybe. All adding up. I guess it started when I fought the madman who took my place during the 50s.
Okay. So you were on ice for 20 years. But why pick tonight for this out-of-my-time jazz to get you down?
I don't know. It's just a feeling I've got. Like something's about to happen, but I don't know what.
Frankly, Shield Slinger, we don't know either. But if we all move our eyes exactly one panel to the right, we'll all find out together. Now.
Falcon, duck! Ah, that's what I call cutting it close. You okay, old buddy?
Feeling no pain. Not yet, anyhow. But if that big bang had come one inch nearer, what was it, anyhow? Some kind of ray?
Sure looks like it. We're both lucky it didn't.
Luck had nothing to do with it, fool. Cap, look, up there.
I see, Falcon. I see.
Do you? Do you really? Then know that your treacherous eyes gaze upon the face and form of the Phoenix. Know, too, that you'll not escape my vengeance.
Vengeance? Is that dressed to kill dude an old sparring partner of yours, Cap?
Negative, chum. I thought he was one of yours.
Such wit in the face of adversity is admirable, but futile. Feel the fury of the Phoenix now!
I'll keep an occupied, Falcon. You get moving on the double.
But even as laser-like beams blast still another hole in the crumbling rooftop, Sam Wilson's ever-alert mind is already light-years ahead of his fast-churning feet.
Go like a bat, Red Wing! No, I am bothering to run. Doesn't take an instant replay to see what that maniac is up to. Namely, he's firing just in camp. As far as he's concerned, I'm not even here. Well, I don't know who that cat is or why he's got a hate on for camp, but I sure aim to find out.
So, Birdman, you sneaked up on me from behind. Precisely the kind of tactics I should have expected from you.
Save a conversation, because I'm not behind you now, flame face.
Out of my way, fool! This is good enough for you. As for you, my red, white, and blue foe, I've no desire to kill you. Not right now. Not when I can make you suffer all the more by slaying the one you call the Falcon.
Sam stunned. no way to reach them in time.
So watch, my friend, watch and grieve. Eh? My weapons charge exhausted? Then your just desserts must wait, Captain America, until we meet again. Perhaps tomorrow.
I'll be waiting, mister. He's agile, I'll say that for him. I've been known to do a little rooftop leaping myself, in the approved superhero manner. Hope it'll do me some good against the so-called Phoenix. You all right, Sam?
You must be getting tired of asking that question, Cap. One thing's clear, though. Namely, that I'm getting to be a real drag in the masked sidekick department. I wound up being nothing more than a hostage. If I hadn't been here...
That madman could still have picked me off. He just didn't want to, that's all.
Okay, you made your point. Now what? Had any second thoughts about who that might have been?
Not yet. I've had a lot of enemies in my day, though. And you can bet your beak I'm going to spend the next 24 hours going over the list. Maybe the Phoenix was just tossing me a red herring to keep me from guessing who he really is. But his taunts are the only lead I've got. Only thing is, Captain America's got more arch-enemies than most people have relatives. Power-mad killers like the Red Skull. I thought he took the plunge a few months ago. But can I truly be sure he's dead? One thing certain anyway, it can't be Baron Zemo. He was a holdover from the Big War, too. But a rock slide finished him off several years back. I ought to know. I buried him. Maybe the Viper. Dr. Faustus. Even Solar. Wonder if it could be Solar. That death ray of his. It's possible. Not likely, though. Why would he use a rifle instead of his own sun-powered superpowers? There's only one way to learn the secret of the Phoenix. And that's by building a better mousetrap. With one slightly used defrosted shield slinger as bait. Been out for hours now, though, and no sign of...
Hold up there, Cap. Me and Red Wing thought we'd come keep you company, if you don't mind.
As a matter of fact, I do mind.
Huh? What's with you, partner? I just thought...
Look, I was going to go easy on you, not to hurt your feelings. But since you asked, I'll give it to you straight. I've been thinking about some of the things you said last night. And I've decided you are right the first time. The time you could have given me a helping hand was then, and you blew it. So go play with your pet birdie somewhere else, okay? Like the lady said, I want to be alone.
Okay, partner. Any way you want to play it. You want alone, you got to.
I really hated to play that little number on Sam. Wow! But that Phoenix character wants me pretty bad, and I won't risk the Falcon catching one that's meant for Captain America. I've had a lot of partners in my time, and sometimes I think I've caused them a lot of grief. Those brave people putting their lives on the line for me. I'd better get back to business now, though, because if the Phoenix is still gunning for me, he can't help but see me up here.
Captain America in Times Square! And Mom told me New York was no place to go for my vacation. He's gorgeous!
He's still around? Are you kidding, mister? In my book, Cap's the greatest.
Funny. I don't seem to get a kick out of the crowds the way I used to. I'd better keep looking. No sign of Phoenix, so... It's time to hit the road.
But though Cap searches everywhere, he finds nothing until...
Hey, Dirt! That guy must have run into something to muss him up like that. And that something may be the Phoenix.
He's after me. I've got to get away.
Easy, fella. You can relax now.
Captain America. Oh, thank God.
What happened to you?
Some costume nut with a ray gun just tried to kill me. He was raving mad, Cap. Said he knew I was you in disguise, that I couldn't escape his vengeance.
That sounds like my man, all right.
He was in the alley. That's him.
It is Phoenix. And if he is as bananas as you say, I'm not taking any chances. It's not the real Phoenix. It's a robot. But that means... Oh, some kind of gas. It's filling my lungs, burning them. I can't get any air.
It worked. Once more, Captain America's helpless before the power of the Phoenix. But this time, you star-spangled swine, you will not escape me. This dirty little alley is your final battlefield. Let that thought penetrate your oxygen-starved brain, Captain America.
But why... Why?
Why? When you've suffered as much as I have, you living relic, then you can ask that question, and the answer will come in the searing blast of my death ray.
Who are you?
Blackness descends. When Captain America opens his eyes next...
You recovered from the gas far sooner than I had expected, Captain America. But still, not soon enough to save yourself. The chains, of course, are far too strong for even you to snap.
What's behind all this, Phoenix? What madman's grudge do you have against me?
I would have thought my identity would have become obvious to you, Captain. My namesake, the spirit bird of legend that rises from the ashes of its own destruction to live anew, the death ray I use to lure you into my trap, the boiling substance in the vat below you. Or don't you recognize that substance? Adhesive X.
Adhesive X? It can't be. The villain who invented it died years ago. There's no way he could have survived. And you're years younger than he was.
Of course I am, you fool. Because the man you call a villain was my father, Baron Zemo. The man you destroyed. What do you really know of the man you murdered, Captain? You hated him for his work on behalf of the Nazis. But my mother and I, we loved him. He was a brilliant man, working tirelessly for the cause of the Third Reich. And you Americans condemned him for this. And when he invented a marvelous laser device, your papers called it a death ray, and started an insidious propaganda campaign against its inventor. I remember it clearly, even today. The campaign worked. My father became the most hated man in Germany and had to wear a mask to conceal his face from those who would harm him. He was wearing it the day that you attacked him. The most powerful adhesive ever invented. Once applied, nothing could remove it. You were determined to rob the Reich of that discovery. Your shield crashed through the adhesive tank, spilling its contents. And in destroying the invention, you also destroyed the inventor. For the cursed mask he was forced to wear had become permanently fixed to his face, never to be removed. And that drove my father mad. Madness changed him. He even took his hatred out on his family. Then he left us, disappeared. Soon afterward, my mother died. Oh, I survived, but I was plagued by a burning hatred for one man, you. Then one day, I saw my chance. I returned to Castle Zemo. There, surrounded by my father's greatest achievements, I was determined to recreate his two greatest inventions, Adhesive X and the Death Ray, and use them to destroy Captain America. And as you've doubtless noticed, my dear Captain, I've succeeded admirably.
Give it up, son. You don't really want to continue a battle that should have ended 25 years ago, do you?
Do you think a flowery speech will stop me now? You killed my father, and you're going to die for it in a boiling vat of Adhesive X.
Want to rephrase that, sauerkraut?
The Falcon!
Good guess, Tucson.
The name of your destroyer is Phoenix.
Same difference. They're both in Arizona.
Falcon, I left you back in the city. How did you manage to locate me here?
Come on, Cap. You didn't really expect me to fall for that I want to be alone routine, did you? I put a certified shield tracer on your own grand old shield. Uh-oh, I think I'm gonna be busy.
Prepare to die, you flunky.
Not that time, Archie.
You can't escape my way for long, Falcon. You shall join Captain America in death. What? The accursed bird?
Looks like Brother Redwing has given me all the opening I need to put Son of Frankenstein away for keeps. You don't know it, man, but you're just what the Doc ordered. I needed something to prove that my partnership with Cap was still a good idea. And, baby, you're it.
Falcon, ease up on him. He's not a real villain. Just a misguided fool still fighting World War II. It's no use. Sam can't hear me. But I can't let him injure the Phoenix. The war took too many lives, left too many hatreds unhealed. I can't let it go on. I've got to use all my strength as never before. Got to keep pulling and pulling until... have to make it to the balcony. I'm only going to get this one chance.
Oof! What's the matter with you, Cap? You want that nut to get away?
Locking him up isn't the answer to 25 years of blind hatred. We've got to try to reason with him.
while those fools are arguing, they've given me the opportunity to finish them off once and for all with Captain America's own shield. Turning your back on me was unforgivably stupid, Captain America!
What? Don't be a fool, man. You don't know how to use my shield. You could...
He ain't buying a cap. Guide my hand, my father, as I avenge your death. Missed, but just by a hair.
But now it's heading back at the Phoenix. Dear God, I've got to try to save him.
It's too late, Cap. Too late.
The big war just claimed another victim, Sam. And I couldn't save him.
Wasn't your fault.
Wasn't it, Sam? The Avengers revived more than an out-of-sync soldier when they freed me from that iceberg.
What do you mean, Steve?
They revived a whole generation's hatreds. Hatreds that should have been left frozen a quarter of a century ago. Say it again, Sam. Say it isn't my fault. Maybe the second time, I'll believe it.
Goodbye, Captain America. Till we meet again.
And we're back. That was Anna Phoenix, Shall Arise, featuring a very sad emo Captain America. still, it's a whole lot of fun. Chris, what do you think of this one? What's your opinion on this adventure?
Well, I do enjoy it a lot. I think it's a really good example of the time period because even though it was kind of a guest spot, I guess, that issue, Tony Isabella kind of pitching in for Steve Englehart, who was really putting Cap through the emo paces this time. And he ends up, not too many issues after this is when, he quits being Captain America and becomes Nomad, the man without a country, And so he was in deep, poor Cap. He'd been thawed out for like a decade, but now he was just really starting to kind of wallow in it, the self-loathing and self-pity but it's still a lot of fun and it's a good example of that kind of bombastic, over-the-top Marvel way of telling the story of the back then,
Yeah, everything is so, every line is, say it again, Sam, maybe I'll believe it. He's so big. You have to imagine that Captain America's faith in country was pretty sorely tested coming out of the late 60s and Watergate. It was like pretty hard time to be walking around with a giant flag on you, unironically, in 1973.
Yeah.
Much like we mentioned, though, in previous episodes of the show, it's like, what an odd choice for a kid's adventure, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, let's see, a son of a Nazi scientist wants revenge, and Cap really doesn't blame him, don't beat up on him too much. He's not really a villain. He's just got a death ray and some super glue and
right on the cover he's lowering Cap into a vat of acid. That's pretty villainous. Jeez.
He's not such a bad guy, really.
Sure, his dad's face got epoxied to that mask and stuff, but I don't understand why they would pick this one to be a kid's adventure record. But as we've seen from the Marvel Monsters and the Hulk one, they, these Power Records people just pick the strangest friggin' stories to make these audio adventures out of. So I love the voice of Captain America. He sounds like Captain America to me.
Yeah, he reminded me of Clayton Moore and as a Lone Ranger and the guy that Clayton Moore emulated, the radio Lone Ranger, mm-hmm. Brace Beamer, who were very Falcon, come on, just so dramatic, he definitely sounded like he fit that everything's up at 11 kind of Marvel manner of the time, over the top, like we said.
And once again, there are no credits on any of these things, so I have no idea who these voices are. The guy who was the Falcon, Power Records reused the same actors over and over and over, so clearly these guys appeared on other records. I can't really quite pick them out. But yeah. But you know, so I again, what you know, another thing where it's like lost in the mist of time. Or who are these people that played these characters? I mean, the Falcons, the guy who played Falcon, he seems fairly distinctive. I really can't think of wherever one other power record I might have heard him on, but I'm sure I did. Because
I wonder, was he possibly Jim Wilson on the Hulk and just not being, you know, making his voice sound quite as young, maybe?
It's possible.
They sounded a little bit like him, you know, when he's like defusing the bomb and all that stuff, like the last episode we did. So it just kind of stuck in my head, you know, maybe that's him. It might not be. Sometimes I think these guys are the same, and then I'll listen to them again. I'm like, well, maybe that's not him.
And it's probably just a guy playing Red Wing. Just a guy who's going squaw into the microphone, you know. It's just going to get a guy to – can you do a bird? Yeah, I can do a bird.
I almost sounded like the Red Wing when he was attacked the Phoenix's face, almost sounded like the woman screaming in the horror – the Dracula, Frankenstein, werewolf one. A woman. It's like, where'd they pull that from?
You know, it's like, well, we got everybody here in the studio. Let's get it done. You know, let's just wrap it up. So
we're recording 10 albums today.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be Santa. You're going to be Robinson Crusoe. Oh, and also the Falcon and Baron Zemo and Lois Lane. And like, okay, all right.
Joe and Little Women. And
yeah, exactly. Now, as far as I ever knew, this story was a book and record set, as I mentioned, that it's an adaptation of the Marvel comic, only appeared on a 45. But in talking to Chris before we started recording, Chris has disabused me of that notion. That's actually wrong. They did reuse it on a long playing record. Now, Chris, how did you come to get this long playing record that has this Captain America story on it as well?
Well, when I was a kid, I had a friend who actually had the book and record 45, and he also had the album, and it had this Captain America adventure. It had Spider-Man, Mark of the Man-Wolf, and it had the Fantastic Four, The Way It Began. And years later, and he was kind of a jerk to me because he like really lorded this over me. It's like, I have this, because he knew, that I love superheroes, and I mean, he was into them too, but very few people were into him as much as me in my circles, you know. So, right. Years later, I don't know, at some point I picked up a Superman Power Record album that I already had a copy of, but it was like a quarter or a dollar or something. So I bought it. And there were actually two LPs inside of it, the Superman one and this Marvel one. So I have it, but I don't have the sleeve. So I have just vague memories of a badly drawn Spider-Man on the reverse of the sleeve, but other than that, I have no idea what it looks like.
Yeah, after Chris mentioned that, I went and did a quick search on eBay for like the LP version, and there's no listing for it. Nobody's selling it, and so I don't know. I've never seen it. I thought for a second maybe I had it on my blog, my Power Record blog, and I just forgot. But I don't, and I don't think I've ever actually seen it. So there apparently now is a Power Record out there that I don't own. Which is now, I know, that's going to eat away at me at night. So thanks a lot for that, Chris.
Sorry.
But I got to find this. You know, even though I have all these stories, I always thought that this Captain America one was never reused, but apparently it was. So, you know, I just have to keep the search out on eBay, and I'm sure eventually I'll find it. I'd love to just get the sleeve because all I really want is to look at the pictures. And it's like, if I ever get the sleeve, I'll send you the sleeve, Chris, so you can have the complete set. I just want to have a scan of it, you know, just so I can, you know, put it up on the blog and have the blog be more complete.
Oh, well, thanks. That'd be cool. You know, one thing about this one that may have got them to pick this one over another Cap story is the panel description where the writer or the narrator says, if we all move our eyes one panel to the right. Now, if that wasn't perfect for a book and record
set, that is true.
I don't know what was.
I'm not
nothing to do with it. But.
Yeah, I'm still holding out hope that someday I will be commissioned to write a Power Records book and I will find all these people and get to do interviews because I'm sure they're mostly still around. It wasn't that long ago that these things. So, you know, we still have to, you know, right now we don't have much to say about the backstory, but. Someday, I hope. I'm not giving up on that dream. So, but no, this is a favorite one. This was a one I listened to a lot, and it's funny. I used to listen to the Power Records in my parents'. We had a family room, which was like, you know, the couches and the TV and stuff. And then we had a sort of formal living room with my mom's like super nice furniture. And like, that was the room I was not allowed into. That was like for company and stuff. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah, there you go. But they had the record player in there. And so on Sundays I would lay in the foyer of our house and listen to my Power Records while I read the comics. And for whatever reason, anytime since I was a kid, I would mention the Power Records to my mom. My mom would always just go, "And a phoenix shall arise." Like, that was the phrase she remembered more than any other. I don't know why, but that's the one that stuck in her head. So, yeah, it's just very distinctive.
Well, that's cool. That's like my Man Bat story.
Yeah, you know, right. Exactly. Right. Right.
Man Bat screeching. You know?
Yeah. Oh, I love that one. So, is there anything else we wanted to talk about this one before we move on to feedback?
Well, I just wanted to point out, you know, I thought there were a few things, with, the Phoenix. I liked the guy, the actor playing the Phoenix. He did a real good stereotypical German bad guy, you know, with the accent and everything like you'd expect. And, you really need to get that guy for, an Ace Kilroy radio show. It'd be fun.
Oh boy. Yeah. Oh, I would love that.
Another thing, you know, I thought it was kind of interesting. You know, Cap is trying to lure this villain out in the open. He's got a death ray and goes into Times Square with thousands of people. He tells the Falcon, you know, basically, "I don't want to, you know, risk your life for me, Sam, you know, but you know, he'll risk all these innocent people."
Well, you know, back then, New Yorkers were a little harsher about tourists than they think they are now. So maybe that was the idea. We kill a couple of tourists, it's not a big deal, you know.
Another thing too, you know, when the Phoenix pulls a fast one on him and comes out of the alley and says, you know, he was attacked, and you know, Cap doesn't seem to notice his pretty thick German accent, you know. It's like, not that, you know, it's like, didn't recognize the guy's voice from, you know, the night before or whatever. But I keep beating on this German accent thing. But, you know, you had to have the Phoenix call Cap swine.
Yep.
Because I'm pretty sure in the comics code, it said, don't use the word zombie. No drug references. German villains must call the hero swine at least once every 17 pages. So, you know, there you go. But, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, what was really cool is I remember this, hearing this, and then right around the same time that I probably first heard this, which was probably sometime in the early 80s, because I didn't own this one, but the Baron Zemo 02, you know, debuted in, what was it, Captain America number, 276 or something like that? Yeah, 276 from December 1982. And that was, spoiler warning, that was the Phoenix. He took up his dad's name because he had a face full of glue, you know. So. And his face was jacked up. They showed he didn't have the mask glued to his face like his dad, but Mike Zeck was drawing Cap then.
Oh, man, Mike Zeck. Good stuff.
Him and Dave Mateus run on that was great. Yep. And Dave Mateus wrote that. And, you know, he was a really cool, I thought he was a really cool villain. And you know, they did a really good job with him. And I remembered, you know, I encountered the original Baron Zemo in the Marvel Superheroes cartoons, mm-hmm. Which, you know, just reanimated the comic books.
Yep.
And he was in those, so it was kind of like, you know, bombarded with Baron Zemo from all sides at around the same time, which was, you know, left this real impression on me that, like, oh, this guy's like, he's right up there with the Red Skull,
right?
You know, which,
right
not quite, but probably is in the, you know, number two spot maybe for Cap villains overall, or close to it anyway.
And
right,
he got a Secret Wars figure, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And Thor and Hulk didn't.
That's amazing. Thor and Hulk did not get Secret Wars figures. Wow.
But Baron Zemo did.
Baron Zemo did. Well, you know, you got to give the kids what they want, you know?
So. That's right. You know, the kids want the guy in the pink hood with the fur. You know?
I do like the fur accessory. That is a very nice outfit.
Very distinguished, very regal.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the kind of kingly look. And I couldn't help it, you know, they were. And then the flashback scene, he was talking about his dad. I always like when I was a kid, it's like, how did Baron Zemo eat? He had that mask, the original. He had the mask glued to his face. And so I got out my Hot News, you know, official handbook of the Marvel Universe, and I looked it up in the Book of the Dead with Zemo, and it said he couldn't eat, so he had to eat intravenously. So,
oh, man.
No wonder he was so on top of Captain
America.
Yeah,
wow. I'm starting to think of maybe Phoenix is right. I don't know. I'm starting to kind of re-whole consider this record entirely.
Yeah. That's
pretty harsh. Jeez.
Ugh.
Oh, man. Well, before we get off Cap entirely, before we move on to feedback, Captain America, of course, you know, outside of most Marvel heroes, has been subjected to quite a bit of live-action attention, of course. There was, you know, the movie from a couple of years ago is probably my favorite Marvel movie of this group, of this, you know, iteration of Marvel movies. It's probably my favorite one. And, of course, there was the 1990 film, which Marvel doesn't want to talk about or pretend exists.
Rubber ears.
What?
Rubber ears.
Yeah, yeah. They're the rubber ears. I mean, it's funny. That I remember there used to be a tiny theater not that far from my house called the Westmont, and it only had two screens. And it played mostly, like, B-level stuff. It never got anything big. And so every time I went there – you know, there was nobody there. It was kind of a sad theater. But I remember being in the lobby and they had the poster for the 1990 Captain America movie.
Oh, wow.
And I, like, talk about, you know, retroactively talk about, you know, wishing, you know, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Like, you know, having high hopes, you know, I mean, that was never going to play in a theater, but back then they hoped it would. And boy, you know, that is, oh boy.
I remember Comic Scene Magazine?
Yep.
They hyped the living snot out of that movie. Like, it was, like, going to be the best thing. I mean, it was going to rival Batman.
Oh, know? My God.
This is Marvel's entry into big-budget movies, you know. This is – Spider-Man can't get off the ground, but they've made this Captain America. And then the pictures they showed of it actually didn't look that bad. I'm like, well, they got the costume right, you know. This guy's a little strong, but he's okay. And Red Skull looks cool. And then you start reading him. Wait. He's Italian?
Yeah. It's just, if any of you out there listening have not seen the 1990 Captain America movie, get some buddies and get some booze and watch it, because it is really funny to watch. And it's not funny in a depressing way like Batman and Robin is to me. It's like, just fun. It's so wrongheaded in every way that it's just very entertaining. It really is. And
it's got some decent people in it. It's got
Ned Beatty.
Ned Beatty.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Ronnie Cox. It's like a Deliverance reunion.
Yeah. Oh, geez. I didn't even think about that. You're right. Half the cast of Deliverance, right? Yeah. Geez. Yeah. It's a dismal movie. But, you know, they were trying. And of course, there were two Captain America TV specials. In the 70s, starring the giant hunk of beef that is Reb Brown playing Captain America, who that guy could not act. If any of you have ever watched Mystery Science Theater 3000, he was in an episode called Space Mutiny, where they parodied him and they just kept making fun of his poor acting ability. And that, basically, Captain America just rides around on a motorcycle. He barely has any lines.
Yeah.
Because Reb Brown just could not act. Christopher Lee is the villain in one of them. I watched them when they aired because they were a superhero, live action superhero show, but they're also awful. They're also really terrible.
I have a confession to make. I actually watched some of those movies today.
Did you really? Now, folks, can you admire the commitment to this show? That Chris makes. I mean, even I was not willing to do that for the love of God. So I mean,
for some reason I was, you know, I listened to this and I was, you know, prepping for this show, and I'm like, I have that DVD. I had bootlegs of them, but then they come out with the DVD of like a year or two ago, and I think my dad gave it to me for Christmas. He saw it at Walmart, so he's like, here. And I'm like, you remember these? I'm like, he remembered it, and I was like, yeah, Dad, I remember those. I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, They are so bad.
But, you know, I was flipping through the parts that Captain America was in it. And he's hardly in the first one, really.
Right.
He, doesn't show up till the end. And he's in that weird Evel Knievel-looking costume.
Yeah, he's an Evel Knievel, basically.
Then at the end, they give him his more traditional suit, but it's still – he's still got a helmet on the whole time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My daughter came in and she's like, is that Captain America? I'm like, yeah. He's like, does he ever take his helmet off? And I'm like, no. I don't like that.
There you go. Well, out of the mouths of babes, you know. And it said Cap's been very fortunate that they dusted him off and made him part of this, you know, now he's part of this big, you know, big franchise. And I mean, I haven't seen Winter Soldier yet because it's not out yet, but I'm really impressed that Robert Redford is in it. I mean, that's a heavy hitter to put in your Captain America movie, to get Robert Redford, because that's not going to gain you any business. I mean, you know, the audience that goes to a Captain America movie does not care that Robert Redford is in it, because he's a non-entity to people in their 20s. So that's kind of having him in there just to basically appease critics, but give the movie a more prestigious feel. And, you know, he's probably not that cheap. So I think that's pretty impressive to get somebody that big to be a side character in your Captain America movie. So I'm really looking forward to it. I liked it. Like I said, I liked the first one quite a bit. So, I'm excited to see Winter Soldier.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, when they announced that Chris Evans was cast, I was like, the guy that played Johnny Storm, mm-hmm. He was, I remembered him from that spoof of the, well, I think it was Not Another Teen Movie and things like that. And I'm thinking, I liked him. He was probably the best thing about those Fantastic Four movies. But I'm thinking, oh, man, because I always knew when they did these Marvel movies, Captain America was the one they had to get absolutely right.
Yep.
I mean, there's no screwing around with it. Captain America is like Superman. He's he's the moral compass of that universe.
Yep, 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 yep.
And if they don't get them exactly right, everything else falls apart. And I was blown away by the way Evans portrayed him. I mean, it's a Christopher Reeve, total sincerity type performance. I mean, you never doubt for a minute that he's completely sincere about everything he says and does. And he's so earnest. It's just, I mean, I could watch him as Captain America read a phone book for 2 hours. It's he's awesome. He's just great in the role. And he continued that into the Avengers. And, with everything flashy going around. And all, you got Robert Downey Jr. and he held his own against him. And Mark Ruffalo was great as Banner. And he, to me, I was still watching that movie for him as Captain America.
Right.
And so I'm really excited to see the sequel. And it looks really good. And it's cool to see the Falcon get introduced. I've seen some commercials with the Falcon where it looks like they've really done a good job with him. So I'm jazzed to go to the movies this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything you just said. I really do. I feel like you feel exactly right. And he does feel like a guy from the 40s. He doesn't for an actor who clearly is, only in his late 20s, I guess, or very early 30s. Yeah. He to me, he convincingly is playing a guy who grew up in the 1940s and is feeling out of sorts. That is very convincing. So it's they did a good job with that. And you are right. They needed to get him specifically exactly right, and I think they did. So that's our look at the Captain America and Phoenix Shall Arise. Now we're going to move on to feedback from the last episode of the Power Records podcast. We're going to start off with a comment left on the Aquaman Shrine from Kyle Benning. And he writes, another episode, another empty wallet, courtesy of In-Stock Trades. How did I not have that Rampaging Hulk Essential volume in my collection already? Well, that's been rectified. Great choice. And that regarding the Spider-Man Dragon Man record. Wow, Sue is a bit of a floozy. I love the classic 70s, 80s horror element here. If you're a teenager slipping off into the woods to get promiscuous, you're going to get dead. And then he mentions, Hulk says, this is stupid. Ha ha ha. Is he commenting on the plot? Well, I don't know. I don't know, Kyle.
And Kyle also, I've got to bring this up because he says, ha ha, I totally agree with Chris. I was thinking that as well. It definitely sounded like stereotypical TV Native American dialogue in Apache Chief. He's talking about the Hulk sounding like the stereotypical Native American. Hulk say, inek chalk. He also added, Rob, I'm glad to hear you praise Trimpey's art. He is often dismissed and his art criticized, but I really love his Hulk. Sal Buscema will always be my definitive Hulk artist, but Trimpey is a close second, and I hold his Hulk in high regard. And I agree. I hold his Hulk in high regard as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of Herb Trimpey stuff. So we got a comment from Tim Wallace where he says, Draco sounded familiar to me. The whole time I listened, I kept thinking he sounded like the Shadows cab driver Mo Shrevnitz from the old-time radio shows. Then listening to it again reminded me a little of the character named Grudge in another bit of old-time radio, Stan Freberg and Dawes Butler's Christmas Dragnet. I'm going to guess there are no credits listed. I think Rob mentioned before there's very little info on the voices behind Power Records. Yes, unfortunately, there is no information at all. So, we'll, again, like I mentioned earlier, I'm going to work on that book. we got a comment from Diablo Frank. He mentions, if you're going to build an army of robot dragon men to work out of a secret laboratory in a sewer, you might as well factor waterproofing into your per-unit costs to get the most bang for your underling buck. Oh, Nobel Prize-winning genius. An ounce of prevention is worth avoiding a pounding to your master plan for world domination / Chuck E. Cheese animatronic show going horribly wrong. I think the reversion into an iguana was a way to avoid Spider-Man outright killing Draco. No such consideration was given to the young group of students who mysteriously vanished, never to be found or mentioned again. However, that was a really bad joke up at the Big Dipper, so that one guy deserved to be immolated and partially devoured per internet law. The Lord of the Lord of the Flies says nothing on the savagery of internet law. And then regarding the Hulk, he says, when you take out the rageaholic growling, the Hulk is a bit of a whiner, isn't he? Hulk got it bad. You don't know how bad Hulk got it. Getting harder. Just keeping life and soul together. Hulk's sick of fighting, even though Hulk should know Hulk should.
He's like Cap in this episode.
Yeah, he is. He very much is.
Frank also, he had a counterpoint to Kyle's estimation of Trimpey. Frank says, when I was a kid, we traded comic books. The dogs that nobody wanted and you couldn't get rid of were 70s Kirby books and issues of the Hulk. They were in our eyes dumb and ugly. Herb Trimpey was a major contributor to this perception. In this specific instance, pairing the most overused Hulk villain with the least engaging classic Spider-Man one would certainly have been another anti-asset. So apparently the kids didn't like Trimpey's art, the Abomination, or the Rhino.
Yeah, I don't know. I was, that was a win for me, but, you know, what do I know?
I kind of, you know, unfortunately, and I hate to admit this because I love Kirby stuff now. When I was a kid, I didn't like, you know, when Kirby would draw something or, you know, when I saw like old 60s Kirby, I liked it okay. But anything from the late 60s onward, I wasn't a fan until, you know, I like hit my teen years or something. I just didn't appreciate it.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. Yeah. And one other thing Frank mentions, he says, thing that just occurred to me and made me sad inside. There are no Doctor Strange Power Records. Yeah, Doctor Strange would have been great. You could have gotten real crazy, mystical, hippy dippy stuff, but no Doctor Strange, unfortunately.
Well, you know, I understand that, like, Doctor Strange was kind of, you know, the hippies actually did like Doctor Strange.
Yeah. I mean, he got his own TV movie in the 70s, so he was, you know, what the hell? They could have done that. I mean, that seemed to be the Fantastic Four never did, so Doctor Strange, you could argue, was more famous than the Fantastic Four, but
the guy with the Mike Brady perm, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's another one we'll have to talk about some other time, that Doctor Strange TV movie. We also got an email from Alexander Adrock, and he says, hey, Rob, Maris, to Chris, I was listening to the latest Power Records episode and, as always, enjoying it when I heard something that gave me pause. I'm a big hip-hop and DJ fan and was startled to hear, during the Hulk story, a sample that was used in the Canadian DJ Kid Koala album Carpal Tunnel Syndrome. During the track Nap Time, you can hear the Hulk say, this is stupid. Anyway, keep up the great work, Alexander Adrock. Yeah, there must be something about hip-hop rap guys that just love these Power Records because, as we mentioned in the previous episode, there's that Conan sample in the Eminem record. So very strange. I don't know. I haven't heard that. I haven't tracked that song down that Alexander mentioned, but now I want to. That's fine. I want to hear the Hulk in the middle of that record. That's really funny.
Maybe it's because they know they'll get sued if they sample.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe like we'll just sample this thing that's presumably out of copyright, so that way we can get the Hulk in there or something. Yeah, I don't know. And then the final email we got, this is really interesting. This is from Rob Matsushita, and he sent it into our email, which is fire waterpodcast@comcast.net. He writes, Rob, I just discovered your podcast last night, although I'm a frequent visitor of the Power of Records blog. I've got a show coming up that's going to be in New York City at the end of February, and will also be here in Madison, Wisconsin for 2 weekends that the second I heard your podcast, I knew you should probably know about. It's called Boogie of the Apes. It's a show where we lip-sync the Power Record adaptations of the Planet of the Apes movies, or at least the first three. We have a Facebook page. That's facebook.com/boogieworld. We'll put that in the show notes. This, by the way, is a sequel to a show we did called Superhero Boogie, where we did this same thing of a variety of different superhero power records. And then he provides a clip, which, again, we'll have a link to in the show notes. Basically, what they did, it's a bunch of actors lip-syncing to the Superman power record P.O. Box 65 live on stage.
Wow.
And they're acting it out on stage while the record plays. So like all
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's the craziest friggin' thing. I mean, all these people have to know these lines by heart while they're it's completely bewildering. It's completely and utter bewildering. Absolutely check it out. Like I said, it'll be on the show notes on the blog and on the iTunes as well. So check it out. It's very, very strange. So thank you, Rob, for that incredibly strange email. I never would have imagined such a thing existed, but it's great to know the Power Records are still out there. And that only gives credence, Chris, to your theory that the reason these things are popular is because they're out of copyright. You know, people can use them. They don't have to worry. So
public domain.
Yeah. People love public domain stuff. So anyway, yeah, that's going to end this episode of the Power Records podcast. We hope you enjoyed this little bonus episode dropping in the middle of the week. Everybody should go out and go see Captain America Winter Soldier. Sounds really good. Hope you enjoyed And the Phoenix Shall Arise. Chris, where can people find you on the internet or on, let's say, iTunes?
We have a podcast with my wife, Cindy. It's called Supermates. We discuss random comic-related things, and we're having a real blast with it. And you can find us at supermatescomic.blogspot.com, or just look on iTunes under Supermates.
Awesome. It's a fun show. I subscribe to it. Everybody will enjoy it. It's a really good time. And you get to hear Chris do his Batman voice, which is good stuff. So you can find me at AquamanShrine.net. And, of course, we are the regular hosting, co-hosting the Fire & Water podcast. You can find Jag at FirestormFan.com, and also find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you have any comments, you can email them to FireWaterPodcast@comcast.net. Follow our Tumblr, which is fireandwaterpodcast.tumblr.com. And remember, if you do send us a message via Twitter, use the hashtag #FWPodcast. So thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll come back. I hope you come back for the next episode of the Power Records Podcast. Until then, drop the needle and turn the page.
Come, Robin, into the Batmobile and home.
Now, an evil genius is on the verge of global domination.
Captain America, you gotta help us.
And only Captain America can stop him. Ronnie Cox, Ned Beatty, Darren McGavin, Kim Gillingham, Scott Paulin as the Red Skull, and Matt Salinger as the Marvel Comics hero, Captain America.